Good morning. I trust you're all well. We're going to be looking at Luke today, another portion of scripture. And I was thinking during our midweek studies, what seems to happen is that we do an overview.
Are you
No, not today. An overview. And it's good to have an overview of what the Bible says, what it teaches. And one of the things that I've found about myself over the years is I'm not very good at bringing that aspect into the message that I want to bring. So going forward, Mike and I, we're going to be working together so that when I dip in and out of a new book, we want to give you an overview of what's happening. And one of the things to take away today is that Luke was very thorough. You know, he made sure he did his research. Now, I'm going to be looking in Luke 17. I've used the first three portions of scripture some time ago. And I want to start at verse 3. So, watch yourselves. That's a good one to start with. How many of you know that when we're in a church environment, what I mean by that is the family come together, it's supposed to be a safe environment? Yes? Yes, Pastor. But also it's supposed to be a challenging environment. Because when we're challenged, we change. And when we change, we go from glory to glory. So it's a place not to come and listen to how sinful we are, but how much of a saviour we have in Christ Jesus that forgives us of our sins. And the message today, or the title today, is "It's Time to Forgive." It's time to forgive. And I've dipped in and out of this message over the years, and maybe even over the months, where there's been a portion of scripture and forgiveness has been mentioned and I've spoken about it. So there are similarities with what I'm going to share today with what I've shared in the past. But I want to read this next couple of portions of scripture to us. So watch yourselves. In other words, be on your guard. There's a portion of scripture that says, be careful you don't stumble and fall. If you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't stumble and fall. So watch where you're walking. It's always good, isn't it, to look at your surroundings when you go on a journey. It's always good to make sure you've got the right footwear on, or if you need extra help as you're walking. Be aware. And that's what Luke is saying to us here. Just watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. I want to look at one or two thoughts today, and one or two portions of scripture that I've not tackled before in church, and maybe we've heard this before, but I want to try and put some context to it and bring it in the right way with the right heart. But it's so easy, isn't it, to see someone else's fault and go and rebuke them, or is it? I suggest so often in church life, what happens is there's something small. Someone says something or someone does something, and we may take it the wrong way or not understand the context of what was being said, and we take offence. And we do nothing with that offence, and we let it stir and we let it fester, and then it becomes a boil and then it becomes polluted. And then what happens is there's something going on between me and my sister or me and my brother that stops us having fellowship. We don't want that, do we? No. So when we look at the word sin, it sounds something so big. And when we look at the word rebuke, that sounds something so powerful. But actually, sometimes it's as simple as missing the mark. Andrew, you know when you said, what did you mean by that? I meant this. Oh, I took it the wrong way. Well, I'm sorry that you took it the wrong way, but I did mean it this way. And because that person has come up to me or come up to you and said what they said straight away, it means there's no animosity that will get in the way. Does that make sense? And in church life, we don't like to do that, I don't think. And I'm not suggesting for one minute that we go around looking for every minute little thing that someone says or do to pull them up on. But I am suggesting that if there is something. David won't mind me saying this, but I say to David, your gift is writing, not speaking. Because David has an accent that he can say something lovely and it comes across as if it's harsh, and it's not. I've listened to this man and I've read what he's written, and I can see how some people can take offence. But what he writes and what he says is not offensive. I'm sorry to use you, David, but you're the obvious one. You see what I mean? So if David says something and I'm not sure, or anybody, and I go up to them and say, what did you mean by that? And we get it into context. We won't walk away with that grudge. And I want to say to us as a church, if we believe we're going to grow, we need to address these things in church, because what happens is people leave churches for smaller things than that. I can't fellowship with that person because they believe in this. What, you mean they believe in the gospel? They believe in the truth of the gospel. They believe that when Jesus said, then that was the truth. Well, now you put it that way, yes. Well, we need to examine ourselves, don't we? So this is a message I hope that will release us as a church and help us to understand what Scripture says as we move forward. It goes on, if they sin against you, if they miss the mark, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, seven times come back and say, I repent, you must, that's an imperative, you must forgive them. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So we're looking for genuine people, aren't we? We're looking for a genuine response. We're looking at someone has erred against us. Someone has sinned. And that just means missed the mark. And when we use the word sin, so often we can think it's something really, really awful. But it could be really something really, really minute. But to you, it's something that's big. Because you've heard it in a certain way. And maybe you've heard the right thing. And it's right to go to that individual and say, what did you mean by that? And it's exactly what you thought it was. And then you say that's wrong, that's out of God's grace, and they repent, and you forgive them, and they forgive you. So I hope this will make sense, this message, as we look through these scriptures. If your brother, it says in Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault between the two of you. Now that doesn't mean every time someone does a microaggression. It's a new word I've learned this last year. Something very small and insignificant that you go and you point it out. Or did you realise that you looked at me the wrong way? I'm not talking about that. But if your brother or your sister sins, go and point their fault out just between the two of you. And it's easy, isn't it? I've found in my life, and I won't mention names, but I've found in my life whenever I've had a problem, it's been a pack mentality. There's been a crowd of people that have come for me, even if what I've said or done is not ungodly. But God doesn't say that. He says, go to that person and just have a chat, a conversation in quietness. Just the two of you. Because so often I find in life that people want an audience. I'm not saying it's true of you or me, but there are people who want an audience. And they want everybody in the shop to hear you having a go at the person behind the counter. They want everyone to know that you're not happy because your groceries didn't come out the way you expected. They want everyone to know that that person said something that offended you. But God doesn't say that. He says, go to that individual, just the two of you, in that quietness, and just have a conversation. So for us as we grow, let's be a church like that. And I'm saying this because we don't have a problem with it, I don't think. But when new people come and they're added, what happens is, I heard a man say something like this: when you blend different metals together, you get friction. And when you get different people from different walks of life and different cultures, what will happen is you'll get friction. And the Bible is very clear. It says, listen, let's be of good cheer. Let's be those that will help each other build and encourage one another. But if there is a fault there, if there is a sin, then just go and point it out, just the two of you. And then it goes on to say this: if they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they do not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of one or two witnesses. Going on, this is where the hard stuff comes. If they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Apologies to any tax collectors in the house. Truly I tell you, And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Now, this portion of scripture here, I'm going to dissect it in the sense that it's not talking about the small microaggressions. This portion of scripture is talking about somebody, a man or a woman, that comes into church and they habitually, persistently flaunt their sin in the eyes of those around them. They come in and they just keep doing what they're doing and they won't change. And they're saying, if you see that, if you see somebody doing something, saying something, acting in a way that is bringing the name of the Lord into disrepute, something that is serious, then go point it out, just the two of you. And if they listen to you, you've won them over. Did you realise that you shouldn't be doing that? Oh no, I didn't. You pray together, they repent, you've won them over. If they don't listen, take two or three witnesses with you. So that, because there's times where I've thought I've heard something. There's times, some time ago, there was a situation and it got a little bit ugly, and I had someone else mediate. Because I said, look, I might be hearing the wrong thing here. But the Bible is clear, it says this. And this person is saying that. But I want to make sure that what they're saying is what I'm hearing. Does that make sense? So there are times where you may say something and you mean a completely different thing, but you've said something that causes someone else to think that you are not a born-again Christian, that you don't understand what the truth of the Bible says. But actually, when you take a witness with you and that witness hears that conversation, they may hear something that you haven't heard. There was a phone call I had some years ago by a friend of mine who said, you better ring so-and-so because they're really upset with your sermon. I said, well, what do they say? He said, well, what you didn't say was what they said you said. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, they told me what you said, but you didn't say what you said. They heard something completely different. I've listened to the tape and you still didn't say what they said you said. Right. Okay. So I phoned that person and said, well, I'm really sorry that you got offended by something I didn't say. Do you get the point? This person was convinced I said something that I didn't say. And that can be the same with you and I. And if we don't address it, if we don't have the wisdom to take someone with us and say, look, just come and listen to this conversation because I might have got this completely wrong. Then as you take that, the one or two witnesses, then wisdom comes into the mix of that. And then you start to discern what actually was being said. And I'm saying these things because I believe that we as a church, we as a ministry are going to grow. And people are going to come into our midst. And they're not going to understand some of the things that we are so familiar with. Some of the terms that we use. There'll be other people from other cultures that one word means something different. There was an advert for a bank and they said, you know, when you do okay in this country as okay in another country, it's derogatory. Be careful. And it's the same within our cultures, I believe. One person will use a word that means something completely different. You know, if I was in America and I'd say, put your pants on. But they mean trousers in the UK. So can you imagine? He had his pants around his head. Really? So we have to be careful. So on this portion of scripture here, what I'm saying is, we don't talk about church discipline very often. And I know from experience, and I know from someone who's been on the side of this, where what happens is we get to know people. We get to like people. And when those people are no longer around, if we're not careful, we can take offence for their sin. There was a family in church, and they were married, they had children, and unfortunately their marriage dissolved. They were going to get divorced. They were still coming to church, and then the man decided to bring his girlfriend while his wife was sitting beside him. What do you do with something like that? Well, the Bible says, go and point it out. If they listen, you've won them over. If they don't listen, take two or three witnesses. If they don't listen then they need to leave the church. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? And the problem is this. It sounds okay when we're reading it, but when it's your friend, when it's the person that used to stand on the door with you, When is the person that was in the worship team? When is the person whose ministry you like to listen to? When is the person whose food you like to eat? You can take offence for their sin if we're not careful. So I think it's important for us as a church to just not gloss over this portion of scripture, but just really think about it. Do we really believe and trust God? If we do, then sin is sin, isn't it? There are things that we will say that will offend us, but that's our problem. We need to put it right. There are things that we need to go to another person and say, listen, that really offended me. Why did you say it? And put it right. And there are things that we as a church and we as Christians need to say, no, this is a line we cannot cross. So I say it before time. I don't want it to happen. But if it does happen, you know the process. The process is if you see something, you know, if there's a piece of rubbish on the floor, don't say someone ought to pick that up. You pick it up. If there's someone doing something and you say, oh, the pastor ought to go sort that out. No, you sort it out. You've seen it. Just do something. If someone's acting in a way, I've not videotaped this for a purpose. There's churches that I know of where two members of the worship team are having an affair and they're both married. Is that right? That's not right, is it? But there were people in that church who knew it, but they were too afraid to say something because they'd lose a friend. So I'm saying to us as a church, if you ever see something that you know is ungodly, for the sake of that person, go and sort it out. And if they won't listen, take two other people with you. And if they won't listen, bring it to the church. And if they won't listen, then they have to deal with the Holy Spirit. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? That's not an encouraging message, but it is. Be of good cheer. We have more scripture. In Proverbs 12, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But when humility comes, comes wisdom. So there's times where we need to be wise about what we say and how we say it, and wise about the times we approach someone else. There'll be times where someone may say something to me and I'm big enough to just take it and go, you know, I know their heart. It was just a throwaway comment. I'm not going to point it out to them. I'm just going to sort it out between me and God. And we need to have wisdom. We need to be humble. We need to understand what God's word says. In Luke 14, verse 11, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those that humble themselves will be exalted. All those that put themselves up on the pedestal will be brought down. All those that walk in the way that God has called them to walk, which is humility. Listen, we don't know it all, do we? There's always something we can learn. When we're Christians, whether we've been Christians a week or years and years, decades, there's always something we can learn. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So it's for us to be humble in the things we do. So that means the same as when it comes to dealing with one another in church. You may have a different opinion to the person on the other side of the aisle over marriage, over issues of gender, over what is a sin, over whether you wear a head covering or not, whether you do this or whether you... Some of those things are not sins. Some of those things are just differences in opinion. You know, there was a lady who would always come to church with a head covering, not this church, but a church that I'm familiar with. Well, that's not a life or death situation. If she wants to wear a head covering when she prays, so what? So what? So there are things that will cause some people to be offended, but they're not offensive. That's what I'm saying. So be wise. If it's a bit chilly today, I'm sorry, I turned the heating off so that you could all hear me okay. And I'll perhaps have a chat with my technical advisor to see if we can get a speaker or something down the other end of the church. But I want us to be wise about how we act and react to people. I don't want us to point out every small difference. And sometimes when we move churches as well, our old church would do things in a certain way and our new church will do things completely different. Well, weigh it up. Is it truth? Yes. Okay, I'll keep that. Is it not truth? Well, I won't keep it. And the Bible is clear about false teachers. The Bible is clear about listening to people who will cause you to go astray. We need to be wise in what we do. But the word for us is humble, humility. It's Jesus said himself, didn't he? He said, I come not to be served, but to serve. That wasn't expected of the king. The king was expected to let those around him serve. This Messiah that they were expecting, they weren't expecting Jesus, the suffering servant. They weren't expecting this Messiah to come and bow down and wash the feet of those around him. They wasn't expecting that. And so often in church, we don't see ourselves as foot washers, but that's what we are. When we are privileged to have a platform ministry, I'll put it that way, whether we're ministering, preaching, teaching, prophesying, leading worship, leading in any area, we are foot washers. We're servants. That's what a leader is, to serve the plans and purposes of God. In Galatians 6, verse 6, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. So God doesn't want us to be harsh, does he? You know, if you are living by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you, wisdom should be there with you as well. And your heart should be to build up, to encourage, to bless. Restore them gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. In other words, if you think you're standing firm, be careful. So if you're going to talk to a brother or a sister about a situation, be careful that you don't fall into that same situation. This is encouraging stuff, and the reason I say it's encouraging, because it's parts of scripture we don't normally get to dig into, I suggest. And it's good for us as a church if we really believe that God's going to use this and we're going to grow. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. To carry a burden is to carry something that's heavy, isn't it? There's times where you will be with someone, a brother or a sister, that maybe they could be stronger in the faith than you, but they're struggling with a weakness. They could be weaker in the faith, but they're struggling with a weakness. They're struggling. So your job as a fellow Christian is to serve them back into the centre of God's plans and purposes. So I suggest you will be given opportunities to walk with people as we go forward. You will be given opportunities to fulfil the law of Christ. Love is the law of Christ. To fulfil that, what Christ says about us and what he says about those around us, you'll be given an opportunity to help carry other people's burdens. You'll find someone who says, I can't do this. I'm not saying anything that I haven't said to the individual themselves while they was alive, and that's our friend Chris. He had a burden of alcoholism, and he knew he was an alcoholic, and he knew that he was going to die of the alcoholic intake. He knew that. He struggled on a daily basis. He struggled with who he was, that he wouldn't get to see his children grow up. He struggled with the fact that he knew God loved him, but he was letting God down. He knew that. Now, this is one of them situations where you could use the other scripture if you wanted to and say, right, you go point his fault out, he's sinning. The Bible says, you know, a little wine for the stomach is okay, but don't get drunk on wine, get drunk in the Spirit. And he's getting drunk, and he's deliberately getting drunk. So therefore, I should take two or three witnesses. If he don't listen, then I'll chuck him out of the church. We could do that, or we could carry his burden and say, we can see what's happening here. The enemy has a stranglehold on him. And I used to say to Chris, when he used to say to me, I'm failing again, I said, Chris, we've walked two paces forward this week, haven't we? He said, yes. I said, and you've only walked one pace back. He went, yeah, I've gone backwards. I said, so what's it mean? He went, I've gone backwards. No, you've gone forwards. Because if you go two paces forward and one step back, you've still walked forwards. Yes? So we have an opportunity as Christians to carry someone else's burden. Not their sin, but their burden. To pray for them. To bless them. To encourage them. Not to indulge them. You never give an alcoholic a drink. You don't take them down the supermarket so they can buy another bottle. No, you tip it out. You help them. So what I'm saying and repeating myself as I'm saying this is, there are times that we are called to carry someone else. There are times we are called to rebuke someone else. And there are times we're called to cut someone out of our lives. But we need to have the wisdom to know what to do and when to do it, don't we? This is why I know it's a good message. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love each other deeply, because love... Aren't you glad? I'm glad that love covers. I'm glad that the love that my wife has for me covers a multitude. I'm glad that the love that you have for me covers a multitude. Because we all get things wrong, don't we? So I want to reiterate that this is a good news message. Why? Because if we know the truth will set us free. And you'll be able to weigh up. You'll be looking around saying, is this something I'll just let go? Just deal with it between me and God? Is this something that I take to that individual? Is this something that I take to the church? You'll be thinking about this. You'll be thinking about things in the past where you stopped talking to somebody because they said something and you didn't have the grace to go to them and say, what did you mean by that? That you was like the man who thought I'd said something that I didn't say. So we need to examine ourselves. In Proverbs 10 verse 12, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over wrongs. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, yes? And it's difficult, this love. The love that the Bible talks about is not the love that we see in Hollywood where, you know, you're running towards each other on the beach in slow motion. That's not that love. That's not that love. That's love that says, you've done this again, and I choose to forgive because you've repented. You've messed up again, but I choose to continue to pray for you. You've wasted what I've given you, but I choose to still give. See, love covers over wrongs. In Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. That's you and me. So we're blessed. Already we're told we're blessed. So that's good news, isn't it? Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. We had it in our songs today, didn't we? Aren't you blessed that God doesn't count our sins against us? So when we get to a point, and maybe you haven't, or you have in the past, or you may do in the future, where you say, why should I forgive? Because God forgave you, is the answer. Whose sins the Lord does not count against them. Why doesn't he count our sins against us? Because we repent. And the Bible is clear, if we repent, then he forgives. And in whose spirit is no deceit. See, God is a gracious God. He's slow to anger. That's good news. In Mark 25, and when you stand praying... When you stand praying, here's something for us as we're looking through the whole, should I go and see them? Should I go and rebuke them? Should I take it two or three witnesses? Should I take it to the church? What should I do? This is something for us. And when you stand praying, you remember, you know, you're going to be at some point, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Lord, I thank you that you walk with me. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me. We're standing there. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. Can I suggest that it does not say, if you, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against someone else, go and see them, go and point out their fault, tell them how right you are and how wrong they are, then they repent, then you forgive them. It doesn't say that, it just says, forgive them. There will be people who are dead that you need to forgive. There will be people who are just, I'm not going to open that can of worms. They've said it, they've done it, I'm going to choose to forgive them. And do you know who that will set free? You. You. So forgiveness isn't this thing whereby you're letting someone off the hook. No, you're cleaning out the rubbish within your own life. You're not allowing their sinfulness to pollute you. And so there will be times where there are these small, medium, and even large things where you go, do you know what, God, I've carried this enough. I'm choosing to forgive. It's an act of the heart, isn't it? And I've said this before, that there's a time where you will forgive someone, but you won't trust them anymore. That's okay, I suggest. That you forgive them, but you won't invite them round for a meal anymore because there's a distance you need to keep. There will be people in church, I want you to weigh this one up because I may have this wrong. There'll be people in church life that will say to you, have you reconciled yourself with George? And George is the one that's really offended you. And you said, yes, I've forgiven him. Well, how come you're not in fellowship with him? You can't have forgiven him. Yes, you can, I suggest. Why? Because it's a decision of the heart. I choose to forgive. No longer am I going to hold this against him or her. Lord, I'm giving it to you. You paid for my sin and for their sin. I'm not going to allow it to pollute me, and I want you to bless them. You know, when we ask God to forgive, and when we forgive others, we ask God to bless them. There's a scripture that says about heaping burning coals on their head. I used to like that scripture until I read what it meant. I used to think if I pray for my enemies, those that have erred against me, and I pray for them, then the burning fire of God, the sulfur will fall upon their heads. Wow, yes Lord, burn them up. That doesn't mean that. Unfortunately or fortunately, what it means is you're praying that God heaps blessings upon them. That God's blessing them. Lord, bless them. That takes grace, doesn't it? That takes grace. That takes resolve. That takes an opportunity to make a conscious decision. So when you stand praying or sit praying, kneel praying, laying down praying, when you are praying, if you hold anything against anyone, if you hold anything against anyone, if you're carrying an offence, then let it go. Let it go. Forgive them. Why? So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You see, there's a space in our lives where we can nurture and speak softly to that aggression. We can nurture and speak softly to that wrong. Well, God can't inhabit that if bitterness or unforgiveness is there. You see, if the glass is half full, and God inhabits half of it, he can't inhabit the other half because it's full of us. So if there's less of us, there's more of him. And if there's more of him, there's less of us. So I suggest as we pray, we empty ourselves of us so that he can inhabit that space. There's a scripture that talks about the demonic where they come in, sweep the house clean. And because that house hasn't been inhabited by the Spirit of God, then the spirit of the demons come back even greater than before. We need to allow God to fill that part of our lives. Final scripture we will celebrate in song after this. In Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Who are the them that he's talking about? He's talking about those that put him on the cross. Just picture it. When we, and maybe you've not got to this point in your life, which is a good thing. Maybe you understand how much you've been forgiven. Maybe you find it easy to forgive those that wrong you. Maybe you find it a privilege to serve others. But just picture this. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He who is without sin. He who did not deserve the wrath of God, but took it. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And there are times where people will just say things and they're not aware of what they're saying. There'll be other times where people will say things, they know exactly what they're saying. We need wisdom, don't we? Let's pray. It is a good message because it will encourage us. It will set us free. It will cause us to think. It will cause us to examine ourselves. It will cause us to let things go in prayer and not allow that opportunity for the enemy to come in and rob and steal and destroy what God is doing in our lives. It will be an opportunity where we can pray for our enemies, an opportunity where we can go to a person and say, look, I've held this for a long time. Forgive me. Forgive me. And there'll be times where you don't need to go to that person. You just need to forgive. Father, we thank you for your healing power. We thank you that love covers a multitude. May the love of the Lord Jesus Christ inhabit our hearts in a greater measure this week, this year, this season, as we grow and explore your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said,